me saying that because he can't hear us.
He watched him take off the wired earphones, not on Bluetooth.
He hasn't put one yet. He still can't hear us.
When he comes back, we're all coming, you're all laughing.
Yeah, and that's the best joke I know. Everyone, you ready? You ready? 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 Start laughing. Start laughing. No. No!
You dead bastard.
And, oh, you can't ever tell that joke again.
And that's the best joke I know.
You know, the awesome thing is showing up during the laughing, because you know one of two things happened. Either everyone was like, okay, wait, he's putting his headphones in, now laugh. Or it was actually a really good joke. I'm going for the first.
You'll have to download the podcast. Hello, welcome to the Big Show. Yes, we finished with Jeff. So we'll get on with the show now. Hello and welcome to the Big Show. If you're sitting going, well, hang on, where's last week's Big Show? You haven't put it up yet, you lazy bastard. No, I haven't. I'm useless. I'm awful. I'm sorry. I do apologise. I'm going to put it up on Saturday. And then this one's going up on Monday. So yeah. And we did have a point actually from someone. They said, how come the show was posted on the 13th? Of January, but the chat room was on the 7th of January, because the chatbot says it's on the 7th. I don't get that. I did point out that the chatbot is only the night that we record it. It just scrapes it. We don't publish it or anything like that. It just goes straight in. So we don't get a choice when it's published. It's just a chatbot scrape, and that's it, and it goes straight into the BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. But I did say, all you've got to do is go to /chat and look at the night of the 7th, and you will see everything that we put in for this week's show. The fact that I posted it on the Thursday the following week added to the confusion. I do apologise. However, the person that raised the question was Martin Kelly, who was in the show when I actually clarified that it was the 7th, not the 13th. So, Martin, pay more attention, mate. Joining me to discuss the big stories that have gone on in tech are an absolute fabulous bunch. Starting us off, top left, it's Jeffrey G. Gamet. How the devil are you, mate?
I am damn fine. And I'm excited to be here.
Good man. And what have you been up to in the last 7 days since we haven't seen you?
There's been a little bit of drinking.
Good lad.
Never All right, there we go.
Oh, okay, right, cool. You've had no sex products to review.
I do have another sex product to review. I just don't have it here at my desk at this moment.
God.
No, but we don't want to know where it is, though.
I'm reviewing it as we speak. That's the faint hum you can hear in the background.
That's right. And talking it's not about not knowing the lyrics.
talking of humming in the background, Alan Hauschel, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good, actually, yeah.
What have you been up to, buddy?
Oh, Christmas was, busy. And then Saturday we actually took on a new dog. So, that's keeping us busy because it's a rescue dog.
You employ dogs?
No.
Well, are they like little mini butlers that run around the Hauschel residence delivering your G&T?
You can imagine that would suit Princess Bagel's lifestyle, wouldn't you? Yeah.
So you've got two so they can carry it to Hamptons of Penarth now?
Yes.
Like mush husky.
Pretty much. Although I think she might have needed to choose something bigger than a Shih Tzu for that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, I only asked. Next to Alan is Righty Boy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Feeling good, mate. I'm feeling good.
Sorry, in fairness, a zoo with only dogs would be a Shih Tzu.
Oh, God. Righty Boy, what have you been... Go back to feeling ill, for Christ's sake. Righty Boy, what have you been up to, buddy?
To tell you the truth, now you talk to Jeff, it reminds me, I've been clearing up my internet cache, because after I've clicked on some of Jeff's links, some of my targeted ads are looking rather dodgy.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I don't know. I bet they're looking kind of exciting.
I thought you and the missus had a good relationship, mate. I thought you understood each other.
That's great when you bring it up on the big screen and your mum and dad are there and...
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, fair point.
Doesn't work.
No.
You know, all you have to do is turn to your mom and say, oh, right, like you never took it from behind. just cooks everything.
Because I can believe that works every time. Yeah, absolutely, Jeff.
Every time.
Do you know, I'm going to do that, film it, put it on YouTube.
Mate, I'll watch.
Can't wait.
No, that sounds even worse. What am I doing? I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that at all. I do apologise. And last but by no means least, Paul Wheatley.
Hello.
Stood up just to prove he's not short.
Arguably, this would prove I am. So. I could at least hide it when I'm sitting down in the Barbie furniture.
Yeah, how you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm good.
I love this when you come down to the studio. It's great.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
All we're going to do is make sure Muller's drinking next time so we can all get legless again.
That was fun.
We had no end of positive reviews about I should not drink whilst podcasting. Someone said it was a semen episode.
A semen episode?
Oh, seminal. Seminal.
So, right. Okay.
Seminal. There we go.
That's a totally different thing.
Yeah. The week in tech, what's big, what's happened, what's going on? Donald Trump says that Apple is going to move all of their production to the US. There we go, just another batshit thing that he's added onto a long list of batshit things that he's already said. And
I have to find a new story now, thanks, Ewan.
There's an extra planet, apparently.
Wow.
Oh, God damn it. Now I have to go find an extra article again. But, that was my backup.
No, you can still cover this, Jeff, because they're saying that there's an extra planet, which is the ninth planet. But everyone's going, oh, no, Pluto's the ninth planet because this place is the tenth planet.
Now, Pluto was downgraded a while ago.
I know, it's a supermoon, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but there's a lot of people. Apparently, there's a movement that says that it's...
Yeah, that's when I have too much yeast.
Yes. There we go. It's been a great week in tech. Who's going to start us off? Who's got the story of the week, the one that they think there is absolutely nothing left to talk about after they steal this one? Jeff.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what story of mine gets taken this time.
Well, go first.
Well, someone put it in the chat room. Oh, we go. Right, he's in there. Minecraft Education Edition.
Yeah, well, I was looking at this, and the reason I was intrigued by this, I kind of looked at it with Minecraft Education, not really that interested.
You've been doing this, haven't you?
I started reading, but Minecraft really, you know, I think you know with your kids, Ewan, that it's really captivated the generation, hasn't it? And I think they're learning a lot of stuff through Minecraft. I think it really is kind of...
I think you can. I don't know that mine do, but they can.
Yeah, but...
okay, that one put to bed. But, okay.
all I hear from the office is, oh, Ellis! Because he's done something to Bryony's palace that she's been building, which he doesn't build, but, you know, it's just...
But my daughter's well into it and everything, and so much so that I think I've said before, I'm now using Minecraft at work to build tools for scientists and stuff. And there has been an educational version of Minecraft for quite a while, Minecraft Edu. But since Microsoft bought it, I always wondered, you know, what was their vision? Was just to get it onto, you know, Windows phones or Windows 10 or that sort of thing. But they're now working on a new version, which is Minecraft Education Edition. Is coming out this summer,
right?
And it's gonna have loads of new features. It's gonna have like guided coordination guidance, so that teachers can navigate with students through worlds and that sort of stuff. They have digital portfolios, and I thought that's a really good thing for schools, because I don't, you know, my daughter talks to me about what she learns at school, and it sounds like some of the really kind of dull stuff still on the curriculum. And I think, oh, Minecraft's a really good way to learn. And she's shown me loads of stuff that she can program, and she can build things, redstone, all this sort of stuff. And that's brilliant. And I was kind of looking through this story, and I think, yeah, well, Minecraft's a really great thing for education. And then what caught my eye was a comment at the bottom of this story. And a chap had put, he said, what he says is, many schools are forced to teach just for the tests that have been shoved down kids' throats by the government. Many teachers don't have the time to do creative and imaginative teaching anymore because they're not allowed to because it's not tested. But I think Minecraft could teach kids a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what you thought, because I think they could, you know, I'm sure the kids aren't learning what, you know, PowerPoint and Excel and all that anymore. There's a little bit of coding and stuff going on, but
not
Minecraft is really there to capture the imagination. But even with Microsoft being on board, there's no real structure for it to be a useful tool.
So you've already touched on like the redstone and stuff like that, so that's basic programming and or games and all that kind of stuff, which is awesome. You the English education system must cater more to computing, because there's absolutely no programming in the Scottish education
system.
There's
no programming in the UK system either.
Yeah,
exactly.
So one of the problems I had was I went to see my son's IT teacher last year at year seven.
Yep.
I said to him, so when are you going to start coding? Well, probably actually not at all. He won't start doing any coding until sixth form. And you're like, what? Are you mad? Mm. Just teach him some
There's
coding.
None in Scotland. There's not none. Even, because there's not even a computer
That's
teacher.
Crazy.
Not even, there's not even a computer teacher anymore. Computer studies has been taken out of Scottish education as a course. It's because it's assumed that you cover it in all other courses because you use
really?
Computers.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's crap. Mm-hmm. Same here though. I mean, Ellis is learning about Excel spreadsheets and other bollocks like that as computer science, and you're like, that is not computer science.
It's not computer
that
science.
Is business, and it's shit.
Yeah.
You can do that with a piece of paper and a ledger.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not computer science, I completely agree, but I would say that almost all jobs that need a computer require some level of skill in Excel. So
no,
that maybe is
invalid.
A skill to learn. Yeah, 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 okay. But it's not computer science,
it's
yes.
Not computer
yeah, exactly.
Science.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff that you do with Minecraft around education, and I really like that whole education space. My wife's a teacher, and she did a whole semester on what was that game called, Guitar Hero, once, and the kids were so captivated with that. It was primary four or something, which I think is the equivalent of year four in England. I think
right.
Maybe year five. I don't know. And she did the whole thing, and it went right from like planning the gig, so there was like maths in it because you were like working out how much things were going to cost. There was also time maths because you were like traveling around the world and doing this tour.
Yeah.
And basically it all built up to, in the end, the last day they got to actually play a gig and play the game. But the whole thing was about organizing this massive gig and playing GarageBand. So I love all that kind of gamification of education. I think it really, really resonates with kids. Resonates with me. I would learn more if I got to play games with it.
I donated a green screen to Bryony School with a full set of lights so they could make their own green screen movies. And I thought,
that's cool.
Yeah, so they've got this thing, and I've shown them how to use it, and they can do whatever they want with it. And they're talking about making a happy video or something like that with all the kids from the school for the end
cool.
of the year. But it's like they'll do that. But in the meantime, you can teach them about light. You can teach them about keying. There's a computer element within keying from using Final Cut and that kind of stuff. So
yep.
There's, you know, I can drop this single color out, so don't wear a green shirt if we're doing this, and the school colors are green. I didn't think about that. I should have donated a blue cloth, really, shouldn't I? What a wanker. I mean, what's America like for computer science, Jeff? Is when is a piece of programming taught generally?
It depends on the different school districts. A lot of schools will be teaching similar things to what your schools are poorly classifying as computer classes, but there's also classes in a lot of schools where you are learning basic coding, even in elementary school, and there's a lot of stuff where you're learning like actual programming skills by the time you're no later than say 11 or 12.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah,
that's way
but
better than this.
A lot of that stuff you have to want to participate in. So it's not like they're pushing all the kids to learn to code, but the kids that are interested in coding, the resources are there for them, and so they'll be doing little things like learning how to do some JavaScript stuff and make simple web-based games, which that's great because at least you have their interest, so they're doing it.
Bronwyn's typing in the chat room, and clearly has been drinking because she's missed a few letters out and three lines now. But she said, "Had I stayed in elementary school in the 80s, I would have been learning more advanced stuff by then." And she's right. I mean, I learned BASIC when I was at year three of, I forget the seven, eight, nine, year nine, what is currently grade nine, ninth grade, I would have learnt BASIC, mono, CLS, 2.
What's ninth grade?
Year nine.
What age?
I would have said third year seniors is what I was in.
13, 14, yeah.
13. So second year in Scottish money.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out from where I am and...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What I was doing in that
English,
how do you even
English
know
year nine
from school? It's so complicated over there.
Ninth grade is the same. So we're England and US are aligned there. So
ninth grade. But that's second year in Scotland.
13th.
Yeah, I'd be second, maybe third year.
13 going on 14, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. my daughter's year 8, and she's nearly 13, so.
Ewan was programming Babbage machines when he left
Babbage
school.
Babbage machines, Ewan.
Can we have Muller back when he's pissed instead of sober, because he's a pain in the arse sober.
I think the most impressive thing I've ever seen, I mean, the stuff that I've seen in Minecraft is ridiculous, and it's great that obviously something with such simple building block you can really get ridiculously complicated. The most complicated thing I've seen, I've just posted in the chat room, is a fully working Pac-Man arcade cabinet that you can play and is all programmed in redstone.
It works.
And it works. And that's just ridiculous.
Mother of God. You know,
they have not only built Pac-Man in Minecraft and made it playable, they've also actually, you know, backwards engineered the whole sort of computer code for Pac-Man in redstone.
Yeah, like I say, I'm being commissioned and to do it, and I'm building carbon atoms in Minecraft for the chemists at the university. And it goes down really well, because I think the kids who are coming to university now, you know, how long Minecraft's been out, they're captivated by it as well, because I was approached and said, we want to do something in Second Life, and I was like, oh come on, Second Life, that's like 2001, you know, use Minecraft. And I was kind of just riffing, you know, I was like, we're going
to
do that,
meet a woman who's pretending to be a bloke, who's pretending to be a woman pretending to be a bloke,
exactly. And they said, we're going to teach chemistry in there. And I said, no, do it in Minecraft. Just kind of going, do you know what? You can do it in Minecraft. Just as a passing comment on our opening day of our new center. And they came back the day later and goes, we're going to build this Minecraft thing. And I came home the next night and I said to my 12-year-old daughter, I said, I've got to build stuff in Minecraft. And the thing you've got to think about kids in IT now is this generation of kids, they're completely IT literate.
Yeah,
you haven't got a go-to, this is the computer, this is how you turn it on. They can pick up a tablet, a laptop, different operating systems. They can do everything now. So what they do at school has got to be really engaging, and I think Minecraft is a really good way to go. But I think certainly in the UK curriculum, I think they're going to find it really difficult to fit it in.
Questions from the chat room. I'm guessing this is serious. Is Second Life still around? I thought that dog died years ago, and Deep Pan said, I thought Second Life was just chicks with dicks.
Wow.
Oh, how bright tonight. Yeah, Second Life is still around, so you can do it in the Oculus.
Is that to infer that we're ever anything other than highbrow?
I mean, Alan, as a man who works in BT for business, I mean, you've got to say, what's the expectation of business when kids leave school and end up looking for a job? And I know that my son's prowess with an Excel spreadsheet will go down well, but not well as his prowess with an Excel spreadsheet and some ability to manipulate and code at the basic level.
Yeah, no, I mean... To be fair, I think a lot of businesses nowadays are going, well, actually, we care more about the problem solving and the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that does actually, and, you know, obviously, one of the advantages of Minecraft is it's a great way to sort of show creativity. And you don't have to be an artist, reliant on pens, paper, or digital tablet. You know, you can create wonderful things, and it's just a great way to sort of put imagination into a 3D form, isn't it?
It's a demonstration of thinking outside the box as well, isn't it? So. No, I mean that.
Yeah, but it is.
Yeah, no. I mean, I didn't mean that facetiously. I think it really is. If it's look at Ellis, the stuff that Ellis does now playing just regular Minecraft, it's, you know, he wants to achieve something because he's seen it on a YouTube video, so then he goes and figures out how to do it himself. And that's the big part of where he gets a benefit from it.
Yeah, I think that's the one of these sort of next generation games where, you know, you can play them, but you can also create and edit in them. If anyone wants to do sort of gets bored with the restrictions of Minecraft, I have to say the restrictions of Minecraft just keep seeming to be pushed further and further out. The Project Spark went completely free instead of microtransactions recently.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that one's a lot more sort of all of the, it's very finished, and you can give, you can give things brains and interaction behaviors and all sorts.
We did a,
is it's sometimes a bit too complicated to start with.
Yeah, there was, we did a video of that in the Gamer Show of playing Project Spark. So if you go back about a year, you can kind of see some of the interfaces and stuff like that, but it has moved on a little bit since then. That was the one where we made the Cock Island.
Yes. Yeah.
Eyebrow, okay.
But the point was made.
The point was made that it was quite easy for to make a thing that...
it was totally inappropriate for the listenership, but you didn't have to put an explicit tag on it.
That is the gem of the Gamer Show.
That is the mission statement.
I put a tag on mine occasionally too, I understand.
The mission statement of the Gamer Show is to create a show which is totally inappropriate for children, but without requiring an explicit tag.
Yeah.
I apologise to all the listeners who think the Gamer Show isn't.
Right, the so is this Minecraft, what's different about it? Is it the same game, but it's like got challenges or like things to kind of force you down to think about things in a particular way for education?
No, it's got a lot more things for the educator. So it's really good for me because the thing I'm doing at work is, like I say, we're building these carbon atoms because they can't show them as a model, they can't show them as a video, they want to show it across a plane of the atom. So what they can do is the educator can guide the student through it, because normally when you're in Minecraft, one person goes off this way, another person goes off that way, but they can guide the student so they can build things in Minecraft and actually take the student through the experience. But it's got portfolios and stuff, so they can build things that they can share with other kids in the class or the teacher, and they can submit things online. But the interesting thing is, it's actually free for the first 12 months.
Cool.
I don't know what the price is going to be after that, but I think a lot of schools will get into that. I just don't know how it's going to gel with the curriculum. That worries me, because I'd love to see it. I was doing the story tonight, and my daughter was saying, "What's your story tonight?" I flicked around and started doing Minecraft. She went, "That's brilliant." And I told her a bit more about Minecraft for education. She said, "Do you know what? I'd love to do that at school. I'm fed up with doing PowerPoint. I'm fed up doing Excel." Because she doesn't really need it. I could teach that at home. They really need, like Ewan's saying, they need to code. They need to learn how things work.
But you can teach the sciences, I think, more readily through. You're not going to teach French through Minecraft, are you? But you're going to teach physics dead easy. You're going to teach chemistry dead easy. Biology, less easily maybe, but you know, you could do cell walls and cell structures and that kind of stuff through it. So I think the sciences translate really well to Minecraft, but the humanities, geography, I suppose.
Topology and all that kind of stuff.
Mr. Batwench sent me a link through, and I've got to find the link before I can put it in the chat room if you want to get it, but it was the... Batwinch, help me out. Find the link from Drew, but it was the OS map in Minecraft. So it was the OS map of Great Britain, but in Minecraft. So it was Britain laid out perfectly with all the main highways and rivers and that kind of stuff to OS specifications, but it was done in Minecraft. It was absolutely superb, and the kids have had to play with that. So there's geography. History, you could dig up an area of the country, or you could Minecraft and then you could excavate around dinosaur bones or pilt down man or whatever and that kind of stuff, couldn't you? So
you could rebuild old kind of structures and all that sort of thing, couldn't you?
Yeah.
It's only the shit subjects that you can avoid doing, like French and German and mathematics and...
Oh, stuff there.
Stuff that doesn't matter that you've never used since. Let's do symmetry. Why?
What's symmetry? Well, I know what symmetry is. It's two things half of each other, but was that a subject?
At school? Yeah, Christ.
Really?
Really?
Symmetry?
Yeah, you used to get questions in, like, when I was show, at like, junior school. I'm aware I was at junior school before you, but...
Symmetry?
Yeah, so, well, I'd
you had symmetry. To draw a line through a shape that was the symmetrical axis.
Wow. Yeah. And what did you use?
Pencil.
Really? Jeez.
Hammer and chisel, you tosspot. He's only throwing 10 years around. I mean, in another 10 years, he'll be going, God, we're the same generation. Good story, Righty. We've got no more time left for anything else.
Sorry.
And Bronwyn has put the link in the chat room. Is this it? www.ordnancesurvey.co.uk about news 2014 gbminecraft.2 HTML. That's the one. If you want to know, you say, oh, God, the show's talking, and I haven't written the link down. I'm driving the car. I can't, it doesn't matter. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and in there is a chat room, and it's all the people that interact in the standard chat room that we've got. There's a little chat bot that sits and resides there, and it picks and scrapes everything up, and it sticks it in. So if you go to the 21st of January, because you're listening to this show and it's recorded on the 21st of January, it's not the date that it's published, it's the date it's recorded, in there will be everything that everyone's listed, all the links to all the stories, all the links to all the shit that's gone on. Don't click anything that Muller's put in. and you'll be fine. Muller's put in click my links. We're going to get a t-shirt made for that for the bash. Muller's going to wear it. She's going to go click my links on the front of it. There we go. Who's next? Who's got the story? Reuters is doing washing up again. So he's obsessed with that sink.
Here, I'll toss mine in.
You toss away, Jen.
Not for the first time.
I'm tossing away right now.
Come on, you tosser.
Okay. So I decided to give up on trying to find a story that Ewan hadn't brought up yet.
I only mentioned it in passing. There is detail to these stories.
All right. Well, yeah, and you're right. There is. So I'm going with the new planet that astronomers think they have found in our own solar system. And so the cool thing is that it's a big planet, so there won't be any debate about whether or not it's a planet or not, like Pluto. So it's...
Okay, that's good.
Yep. So the way they found this, and of course they haven't officially declared that the planet is there, but all the evidence is saying it's there. They found it because there's other large bodies, like comets, and we have a couple... it's not protoplanet. What's the term we're using for planets that aren't quite planets, like Pluto?
Dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet, yeah. So Sedna, what's Eris. The other dwarf planet we have? It's like, Eris. Like, yes. So there's these dwarf planets we have that no one's been able to figure out exactly why they can't orbit in closer to the other planets that we already know about. And so when they started looking at these other large ice bodies and the way their orbits were sitting and these other dwarf planets, the conclusion that they came to is that there has to be another big planet that's in an orbit that's way outside the regular orbital plane or pattern of the planets we already know of. And it turns out that this planet most likely is rocky, and it's 10 times bigger than Earth.
Now, in the story that you put the link in for, it says gaseous.
Oh, it does say gaseous? I thought they were saying that it was rocky, but that it was a Neptune-sized planet.
Right, okay. No, the distant planet is likely gaseous, similar to Uranus or Neptune, according to this. Planet 9, it's being called at the moment.
So yeah. had I read the whole article instead of just
that's actually the headline
referring
the first
from
picture,
memory
but...
to the thing I read earlier, I'd sound smarter than I am.
But the interesting thing is the orbit that it takes around the sun. I'm showing a picture of it here, and there's a whole list of objects that orbit the sun and where they particularly loop around it. And this thing is completely in the opposite direction.
Apparently, right. It takes 20,000 years to one orbit the sun.
Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me because Neptune was discovered in 18 something or other, or 17 something or other. And I remember watching a Brian Cox show, and he said, since it was discovered, it hasn't completed one lap of the sun yet. And that's one of our inner planets, in inverted commas, still hasn't completed a lap.
So right.
It's a big old place. Did you guys ever read the article that I wrote, Third Rock from the Swimming Pool? Or Third Coin from the Swimming Pool?
Yeah, that was the one where you and Ellis were trying
That's right,
to,
yeah. Ellis was doing the solar system, and they all stood there with, like, apples and pears and tennis balls and stuff out across the field, and I'm kind of like, well, no, it's bigger than that, mate. And he's like, how big is it? And I'm like, okay, I'll prove to you how big it is. And I wish I hadn't started, because it was like, here's a 10-meter or 3-meter swimming pool that we've got in the garden this summer, So if we then go from there out, you know, the earth is a 10 pence piece and it's at the rugby club 3 miles away. And we blew our minds. Just, I couldn't grasp it, let alone a poor 7-year-old. So
I think it's really cool that you did that.
Well, it wasn't, because he just lost interest in the end. Because it's like, you know, Jupiter is the 30-centimeter frying pan, and it's Northampton. But he's like, where's Northampton? And the furthest thing I think was Pluto, and it was the size of my little fingernail, and it was at his grandma's house in Luton. And the sizes were too big. It was too much to grasp as a concept. And you look at this ninth planet, and you look at the distance that it's orbiting from the, you know, if I add that into the equation, it's probably in France come Germany, and it's,
yeah,
even the size that it is, it's the size of a CD, and it's still getting gravitational pull from a sun that's, you know, that's where you kind of lose the plot a little bit with this.
You know the
stuff.
Simple answer? Bottle it in Minecraft and then get him to try and walk there.
I don't think that's going to model. That's the trouble. I mean, it's...
Because the smallest element you can have in Minecraft is a cube.
Mm. Of 1 meter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so it just... Yeah. I think you might manage to get 2 or 3 planets, maybe.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then you'd fall over.
It is. I mean, there's a great video as well. I mean, I'd started at a 3 meter swimming pool, but there is a great video of some guys that did a 1 meter disc, and then they did it in the desert, and it was like, you know, the furthest one was 7.5 miles away.
Wow.
That's not including Pluto. That was just Neptune and stuff like that. And the guy starts off and he said, so, you know, you've got like the planet Earth here and you've got the moon here, and people think it's about this far apart when in reality it's more like this far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Way, way, way further apart than
it is. Surprising how far the moon is from the Earth. Because is that one of you can fit most of the planets or all of the planets in the solar system inside the distance between the Earth and the moon? If you squeeze them?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't disbelieve that. It's 250,000 miles, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's just so difficult to get your head around.
Yeah. No.
So I found a project that is putting the solar system, a scale model of the solar system, in Minecraft.
Wow.
Oh, right, okay. Do you want a link, or are you just going to
type it? Sorry, I've just realised that I...
You've just typed it, yeah.
No, I pasted the text of the link as opposed to the link itself. That's the link this time.
That Thatcher's gold is awesome, isn't it? Yeah, no. It's the thing that bothers me about sharing this in Minecraft is straight away I can't get in my head how.
You'd have to have a pretty decent machine, I think, because of the vastness of the map that you're going to have to create for this.
Yeah.
Well, most of it's empty space, isn't it? So that helps.
It does help. But isn't Minecraft one of the benefits of Minecraft is that. It's almost like a vector drawing in that it just worries about the coordinates.
No, you see, straight away they've done a pan past the Earth looking at Mars, and that's not it. That's not scale. My arse, that's scale.
Sorry, just to clarify, your arse is that scale?
No. So it's just done a pic. I was looking through the video.
Oh, I see.
And it's done a shot where it's got the Earth, and then it's got the Mars in the distance, and that's like, no. You know, when you're that close to Earth, Mars is a pixel in that distance. That's not to scale at all. It just says huge scale. It doesn't say two scale.
Well, I searched for two scale.
Yeah. 18 to 1 scale house. I know what that means. I'm done watching that. So It's massive. It's a big old place, the universe. So Planet 9 hasn't got a name yet, Jeff.
It doesn't.
Are you going to call it Gamut?
We might as well.
We should. You should petition to call it Gamut. Because it wasn't the Pluto. Was that out of Disney characters or something when it was discovered?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
it was
know.
Named after Disney character.
Right.
Pluto.
Yeah, a little girl won the contest to name the planet.
Huh. Gamut's ball.
Gamut's balls.
All right.
Shame there's not two of them in synchronous orbit.
Well, we're getting into Gamut's anatomy here that we don't actually know too much about.
The disruption in the rest of the solar system, now wouldn't it?
what fell on Isaac Newton's head? Jeff Gamut's balls.
You then use them as earmuffs over the cold, cold winter.
Yeah.
What a brilliant plan.
That would work. Cool. Excellent, mate. Great story. I look at this story and I think there's so much more out there. But the thing that's really interesting, you look at the amount of probes that we've launched. We look at the amount of satellites and that we've got out there looking at stuff outwardly. Hubble telescope. We've got telescopes on Earth looking outwardly, and we've never spotted this thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So what other big surprises are waiting for us in our own solar system?
Yeah, and like the Voyager stuff has left the solar system now. It's in the interstellar winds, isn't it? So it's like it. Those have gone out through the solar system and still not noticed where this thing was. Do you guys ever see a film with the guy that was the inspector out of Clouseau, the chief inspector, Herbert Lom, and it was about a mirror planet that orbited opposite Earth?
No.
It's a great film. It's crap. It's crap because it's the 1960s, but actually for the period of time when it was made, it was a great film. And it's about two planets that it's a planet that's opposite the sun to Earth, so we never see it because it's diametrically opposed. So they launch a probe because they find it because this thing automatically gets pulled around and one of their probes sees it. So they decide to launch an astronaut in a ship to go to this place and see what it's like. And he ends up crash landing back on Earth. But then, I won't spoil the story necessarily, but it's kind of like this idea that it's a mirror world of Earth.
Ooh, okay.
That's a fun story idea.
From
a physics standpoint, it doesn't work because all the other planets in our solar system would have been affected by the gravity of this object, and so we would have known about it long ago.
Yeah,
but
thanks for pissing on that, Jeff.
Oh, sure thing.
I said your story was great, and you piss on mine.
I really want to see this movie. Sounds fun.
It's screaming for a remake. Just go on to IMDb. Jeff, Muller, do something useful instead of slagging everyone off. Find the Herbert Lom movie.
Yes, find the movie for me because...
Post the link in IMDb.
You know, I'm doing a show. I clearly don't have the ability to look on IMDb right now.
It's old enough. It's old enough. It's probably on Netflix as well.
Yeah, no. Well, it's too crap for Netflix.
Really?
It's, right. Yeah, no, it's an old crap film that no one knows about, I'm sure.
No, oh, okay. Fair enough.
Alan, have you got a story for us, mate? Stick it in the chat room.
I do. Yep. So they've got to the final three ideas for the HoloLens app contest. Apparently they had over 5,000 submitted ideas. I think that the final three are reasonably... would be interesting to experience, but a bit predictable.
One's poor.
This is a total load of crap. There is not a porn option in here.
No, it was a joke. It's a joke,
no,
Jeff.
Exactly. Well,
no, but it's a total load of crap. There ought to be a porn option in there because that's what's going to sell this product.
A virtual aquarium that you can see around you with HoloLens.
So you're inside the aquarium.
Yep. So you're kind of virtual aquarium floating in air around you, sort of things. Grab the idol, kind of, I guess, crystal maze, bounce around your home trying to get something while you know, you get darts flying out of computer-generated bits of your furniture. And then, obviously, there is quite a cool one, but quite an obvious one, of a galaxy explorer. So, you know, virtual reality in your room of exploring the solar system. So, nice thing
for there. I like the spacey stuff. I definitely like the idea of perhaps doing like a spacewalk or something, being Tim Peake.
It goes back to what we were just talking about before as well.
Yeah.
Having that kind of... I mean, I don't know if you would never be able to walk the actual solar system, but having the ability to kind of move yourself through backwards and forwards to kind of get a feeling of the space and the size is pretty cool.
I thought what was also really interesting is if you go to that link and then go to Browse Ideas... You can sort them various different ways, but you can see all of the ones that didn't make it. Now, there's quite a few that seem to be about putting, you know, virtually on your tabletop a bird's eye view into competitive gaming, spectating competitive gaming like League of Legends and Counter-Strike map, you know, in 3D on your coffee table, watching people run around and how the matches are going. So virtual spectating. That seems quite interesting. Not surprisingly, there's quite a few ideas that would like a giant life-sized Cortana hologram inside your HoloLens. So, yeah.
With boobs. Probably are.
Sweet.
They probably are on your porn.
Fascinating.
you know, heads-up display for driving, music teacher that sort of, you know, gives you real-time sort of which key to press while you're at the piano. I thought, you know, obviously there's things about sort of teaching you to cook by actually overlaying the instructions on the surface and doing things there. But then, as I say, there's obviously the weird ideas. Just go to most recent or random and just scroll through. And
human Pong. That sounds cool.
Yes. Human Pong did jump out at me. obviously, the sensible ones, like, you know, you could put subtitles on to pretty much any movie or TV show.
Attack of the Grayscale Flying Space Monsters.
See, there's sort of 5,000 submitted ideas there. There's going to be some real gold in there. Obviously HoloLens is, you know, developer only and ridiculously expensive at the moment. And not surprisingly, for a fully self-contained computer, you know, they're saying sort of the current first version is sort of 5.5 hours battery life, 2.5 hours if you're doing sort of intensive, you know, motion gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd still love to, you know, I mean, as soon as the Science Museum in London or anywhere gets them and allows people to try them on, I want to go there and replicate the NASA Mars rover on Mars was supposedly absolutely, you know, the nearest you are going to get to standing on Mars. And things that's like really that cool. Look awesome. But anyway, I just thought, as I say, the three ideas, obviously they have picked them for them to be achievable. And I do think they're interesting, but the bonkers ideas and the browse ideas section are the ones to chortle over.
Oh, the best one is the Microsoft support line one.
I've just found that,
So you can sit on hold in augmented reality for 3 hours.
Is there a really grey waiting room where, you know, just chairs play lift music disappear and new people come in?
Girlfriend Ipanema, going back to the Max show he's playing. The film that we were talking about with Herbert Lom is Journey to the Far Side of the Sun. There you go. If you'd like to go and hunt it out and look at it and see if you can download it somewhere and watch it somewhere. Thank you, Muller.
I've put a link in where you can watch it for free.
There's a link in the chat room where you can watch it for free. So britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and you can watch it for free. Thank you, Muller.
Good work.
Wow.
Instead of putting in crap that no one can click.
It is the porn version.
That's the only link from Muller you need to click. Just want to point out. Don't get sidetracked.
Yeah.
Don't think that everything's safe.
First one's for free.
Absolutely. Only this one's for free. Waiters, did you bring a story, dude.
I did, and it's one that probably we will discuss on Monday night in the Gamer Show, but I just wanted you guys' opinion first. So it's around Activision Blizzard acquiring the esports network Major League Gaming for $46 million. I think it was last week, perhaps the week before. And what I was curious about was, and it's actually connected to Alan's as well, because Alan, you mentioned there about being able to watch like League of Legends or something like that on your coffee table with HoloLens or theoretically any of the other holographic devices that are coming out just now. And this seems like a massive deal. And it's a chap that used to run ESPN's now running that section of Activision Blizzard. Do any of you or have any of you watched any esports gaming? I mean, I see a lot of it because I have Google Alerts set up for the Gamer Show, so I see a lot of news going on, but have any of you actually watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Street Fighter 4 tournaments on Twitch. I'm absolutely obsessed with those.
Wow.
And I've got I've got alerts set up for those because I'm a Street Fighter 2 guy from the 90s, sure. and just what the guys can do on that, and absolutely, I think I'll probably get into more and more games, and a lot of Minecraft that me and my daughter watch as well. We watch a lot of kind of live games that are not so competitive on Minecraft, but certainly Street Fighter 4 is
okay.
is the way it goes for me, definitely.
All right, okay. I it just doesn't really engage. I totally get the Minecraft thing, so I watch a lot of YouTube stuff with my daughter. We'll sit and watch stuff that tells us how to make a thing. We made an automatic chicken cooking machine the other day. So it's stuff like that I watch, and it's like tutorial videos, but the whole idea of...
I'm telling social services.
It's awesome. You basically have a bunch of chickens, and you trap them in an area... And no, then they dropped it, and I'll explain.
I didn't want an explanation.
It goes down a funnel, drops into a cooker, and then it drops out the cooker and drops into a case. And then you could just go along and you've always got cooked chicken waiting for you. It's pretty cool. Sorry? But it's all automated.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft.
Isn't this what restaurants are for?
Well, it's definitely what Chipotle's been doing anyway. So...
I can just, I imagine going to Sun Valley Foods and find they've got a chicken funnel. Thanks for listening to this podcast. And people in animal welfare groups are not concerned in the least.
No. A bit like that's interesting, right? I thought it was maybe like a generational thing, but clearly not.
I was wondering whether it was a people with more free time than us thing. Because I'd quite like to, I'd quite like to sit down and think, and I'm sure there's, certain games I'd, really enjoy watching, sort of, competitive matches of.
Well, if you sign up for Twitch alerts, and when you first sign up for Twitch, it asks you what you're kind of into, and I was doing it, I think it was after, Amazon bought Twitch in the end?
Amazon on Twitch.
I think that's when I first really heard of it, and I got the app, and it was quite... It's kind of like Apple Music. What are you into? Kind of fighting game, first-person shooters, and I play a lot of Xbox games and that sort of stuff. So I watch a lot of playthrough videos and all that sort of thing. So, I want to watch it live. When I was getting the now and then, when I get the notifications, I'm kind of like, do you know what? There's nothing on TV because there's never anything on TV. I've always got my MacBook next to me. I just flick it on, and probably like a couple of hours have gone, and you really get immersed in it because it's like that thing where. When I was a student, we'd kind of go out and get drunk and then come back and we'd play Tony Hawk Skateboarding or GTA 3. And there'd be one person playing.
Right.
But there'd be like 8 or 9 people watching.
Right, and
it's just, it's just that again, but you're doing it on the internet.
Sure, and obviously, with Twitch, you do have the chance to sort of feed back or at least shout into a chat room while the live stream's going on. So it is a bit more interactive because otherwise I'd be kind of going... Well, what's the point of watching it live versus just seeing the highlights recorded on YouTube sort of thing?
Right, okay. Yeah.
But no, do you enjoy the chat room element as well, Paul, sort of thing?
Yeah, it's not bad, but the trouble with the chat rooms nowadays, I think the kids are a lot into chat rooms. It flicks by so fast that I really don't... I'm more into the action that's actually on the screen. I kind of interact like with watching the Street Fighter at the end of a match and that sort of thing because I find with the Street Fighter game there's some real skill there and I kind of cut my teeth playing Street Fighter in the arcade when I was a teenager and I know how difficult that game is to play and to perfect it, so that has a resonance with me.
You just keep pushing leg sweep, just constantly, just leg sweep, leg sweep.
Roundhouse kick.
Yeah, yeah, just if you want to mix it up a little bit. Yeah, no, I just assumed this was like a future play because, my daughter would sit and watch YouTube. We've got Netflix, we've got Amazon Prime, we've got Sky in the house, and she just watches YouTube. That's all she watches. And then,
Yeah, so my daughter watches this. Yeah. We've got Apple TVs and a DNLA TV. It's just YouTube all the time.
Just YouTube. That's all she's interested in, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just assumed this was a future play, but apparently not. That was kind of where I was going with that. Because I couldn't see the current play for spending that kind of money on it. Because I guess the future play is that it ultimately maybe one day becomes, as big as sort of ESPN or something like that, I guess is the long-term thing. You don't have any concussion issues or anything like that when you're playing esports.
I think it's, but that's huge because they have huge conventions and all that sort of thing now. And I think some of the fandom around it, it's on Netflix. There is a documentary about the Street Fighter Championships. I can't remember what it's called. But if you watch it, I'll have to find it. But it really is proper fandom about, you know, and people follow these contenders like really, really quite mentally.
Right. Have you ever watched
the big one many years was obviously, was it? Korea and StarCraft.
Oh yeah, the StarCraft.
Years and years and years. But I mean, you know, there's now a lot of the e-gaming competitions that are, you know, doing million or bigger than million prize funds for the winning team. Mm. So you know, if they can do those sort of prize funds, the money's got to be coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
I think it is. Big and growing, but it is kind of bit like gaming used to be. Mm-hmm. It's probably still a niche, but really hardcore niche. And to be fair, you know, probably reasonably well off people in the main.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there's lots of money to be made there.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it going to be a subscriber or a pay-per-view, do you think?
I don't know. I think
the pricing, isn't it?
Well, it's Activision, so it could be Activision Blizzard, so it could go anyway. I mean, the whole Blizzard business model is subscription, with the whole kind of World of Warcraft and things like that.
Have we got a contact we can tap on Blizzard? They're not in Blizzard anymore, are they?
No, they're not.
They wouldn't know.
No. It would make sense for it to have some kind of subscription element. I that would be my assumption, but then of course Activision also makes like the Call of Duty games and things like that, and they are very, very expensive at times, certainly when they come out.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they've got a captive market in the Call of Duty field, and you know, I know this from Ellis. You know, he likes playing Call of Duty, but and as do all the kids in his group, and the only reason he's got it is because of the peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the amount of stuff that went from Call of Duty 2 to 3 that was applicable, non-applicable. And the stuff, if you've got Call of Duty 3 on PS3 versus Call of Duty 3 on PS4, non-applicable.
But that's every game. No game does that. No. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that it almost seems to be the kind of the norm that it's just...
Ripping off kids from their pocket money.
Well, I don't know if it is.
It is. It is. It absolutely is.
But so they would have to... but it's a different code base.
Yeah, no, I get that, but you have a single PSN account, mm-hmm. but that single PSN account has no translation across any of the PSN platforms, bollocks.
Are you meaning as in if you were to buy it on a different PlayStation?
Yeah, you can credit an account with a skin for a gun.
Yeah.
And it can go across all of the, but it doesn't. You're taking 70 quid off my son. I hope you feel proud. Because you're not taking it off me, you're taking it off my son's pocket money.
Okay.
No, it's a different conversation, I know, but but my point is that you know, if you're talking about pay-per-view for gaming,
uh-huh.
what you're going to get from it is actually going to be something that's non-translatable, not worth watching, and it won't necessarily die a death because the economy that it's selling to is gullible because they're child.
Mm-hmm.
Childs.
Well, not for Call of Duty, certainly not.
No, but the idea of selling pay-per-view on gaming...
Mm-hmm.
is one that it will appeal to a certain cultural group that has no measure of the fact that they're being ripped off.
Okay, yeah, okay, so the pay-per-view element, yeah.
The gaming industry is set with that.
Mm-hmm. The whole microtransaction thing, yeah.
Stealing, and they've been doing it since Sega had got you know, Sonic the Hedgehog. You know, a game didn't work, you took it back, oh, you've opened it, sorry, no, sod off. No, it didn't work, Sunshine. I know my rights.
Mm.
And I had that right going back to the Mega Drive. The industry is set up for thieving. Theft from children.
Okay. I've never experienced that, I have to say.
Okay. Just my thought. Maybe I'm fated. But we'll come back in a year when you've had a bad experience and we'll go, yeah, you're right, Ewan.
No, I don't think it's set up for that. I think you're going to get bad experience. You're going to get bad experiences buying a fridge.
No, but it's set up for limitation. It's designed for limitation and expiry of asset. And the people that they're taking it from the most are the people that are less able to understand that they're being ripped off. My son just sees it as normal that he's lost £70 of DLC content for Call of Duty.
Maybe I'm a harsher dad than you, but that's a life lesson.
I wouldn't disagree it's a life lesson, but he doesn't see it as a life lesson. He sees it as the norm because he's been funneled into that.
Mm-hmm.
He's cultured into that expiry. Whereas I just won't accept it. I've got a £3,000 lens that's fallen over off a tripod, and Canon are telling me they want £260 to fix it. I said, go ahead and fix it because it's well worth it. And now all of a sudden it's gone to £600 because I said £200 too fast. And there's a massive debate with me and Canon over that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not happy about the way I'm being treated. My son believes that the way that I am being treated by Canon is actually the norm. And I have a problem with that. I have a real problem with that.
I agree with that. That is a problem. But
bent over and being, this is not appropriate with children in the slightest. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, being screwed by corporations is the norm for kids with gaming industry now. And it's not the norm for their parents, which is another disconnect that separates the two.
Mm.
I fight my son's corner with stuff, and he looks at me and goes, why are you fighting my corner with this? Because I don't... This is the norm. This is what should happen. This is the way that it is. I'm like, no, you're a child. They've taken £70 off you and not translated it to anything else. And it's not a code issue. You can buy the same skin for the same game one iteration on, but we're not going to credit the fact that you bought it for this one because you now have to buy it again for this one. And it's the same pattern. It's not different. It's the same. You buy the diamond skin for 3 and you buy the diamond skin for 4, and 3 and 4 can't talk to each other. My rosy red arse, they can't.
So I am relatively sure, and I'm just double checking my sources before I say this, but I think Call of Duty 2 and 3 were built by different organisations, so there is a code base issue. But I'm just double checking that.
No. It's not a code base issue.
It is.
This skin looks like this skin. Visually, they are identical.
But if it was built by totally different developers, totally different organisations... It's a different... So they're not going to end up paying for somebody...
Dude, you know you've got a sign on your back that says, kick me.
In what way? I think there's two things. I think you've bought a thing, and that thing works with that thing, and you buy another thing that looks the same, but you assume it should work with that.
In this case, you're talking about two things that, even though they came from different companies, are actually the same thing. There's no reason why... the parent company couldn't say, you know, here are the specifications we have for these add-on elements, and so when you write your code, it needs to be compatible with our add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
And then your version 3 skin works with version 4, and it's not a problem.
It's the same. It's the exact. It's identical. It's a freaking bitmap texture, for Christ's sake. And they've charged him, for a start, they've charged him £2.49 for a bitmap texture. That pisses me off to start with, but okay, fair enough. But then to say that the identical bitmap texture is not available in the next version because it was built by another software house is just bollocks. It is absolute crass bollocks in the extreme, but I've got off his soapbox, there we go. ISPs in the UK have been told that they must make their pricing clearer. This comes after a list of complaints from people and a survey that was conducted by the Advertising Standards Agency that said, wait for this, 81% of people sampled incorrectly stated the cost of their broadband contract in the UK.
Wow.
4 in 5. 4 in 5 people didn't know how much they were paying for their broadband service. And I know this is, you know, I don't want to get too much down the line of I'm getting ripped off, everyone's bastards, but how much do you pay, and do you know, and this is hand on heart, I'm going to shoot you if you get this wrong, because I know everyone's fees for broadband in this whole panel. Do you know the exact figure you are charged each month for broadband, Jeffrey?
$64.
And you never get charged more or less, and there's never an issue?
Not yet.
Okay.
But I know I am also kind of a fringe case because I don't have any cable TV, anything like that. I'm just paying for broadband internet and it's $64.
So so Muller hasn't grasped this because I said, do you know exactly how much you get charged? And he put mine's about 25 quid. So there's one of the four in five. Alan?
Yeah, zero.
No, because he works for BT.
Because I work for BT.
Bastard. So
employee benefit.
Okay. Do you know how much
to
you would...
To be fair, for many, many years, they gave us shares instead. And then we, you know, when the share price went from 15 quid to 3 quid, that didn't seem so good anymore, so they gave us broadband.
Do you know how much you should be paying, though? Do you know what the tariff would be?
Presumably we're all the same if we're on BT. I'm $26.95.
And that's absolutely right.
Yeah, absolutely right, because I just renewed my contract last Friday.
That's not fair.
you didn't say that.
And righty, boy?
Funny enough, I paid 24 a month only because I spoke to BT this week and they tried to rip me off on something else. Sorry, Alan. But I had to speak to them and clarify what I was paying.
I'm on Virgin Media, so I'm not going to piss Alan off, other than the fact that I'm on Virgin Media. And I know that Sharon's bill for the house is £42 because I get the bill statement, but I don't get an electronic bill from them, so I have no clue how much I pay for this place. And you hate it, you see, you think it's shit, so.
I've discovered it's a DNS issue.
Yeah, you want 194.
Yeah, I think I'm just using the default.
1.400 or whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm using the default.
4.100. Apparently I pay £44.29. Muller thinks he's paying 25 quid and he's paying £44.29.
There we go. I, up until last Friday, was paying £15, and that was because BT had accidentally put a £15 BT Sport credit on my account, even though I don't have BT Sport.
Oh, right, okay.
So I phoned up to cancel BT Vision, and they realised that I was getting BT Vision for free and I had the credit for BT Sport by accident. So basically I phoned up to get rid of BT Vision, and then my bill went up by 15 quid.
Oh, bad luck, dude.
Ouch.
Yeah. And you lost the service.
I did. I wasn't using it anyway.
Okay.
I had it in my old house, and when I moved in June, I hadn't actually plugged the box back in since I moved, and then I realised I probably should cancel that because I've not been using it for 6 months.
Yeah, no. And when we go back to my earlier conversation about getting ripped off.
Tis what is.
No, I know what you and I are like, mate. It's just like, I haven't used the phrase. I just pass it to the local housing authority. I thought that's quite interesting. 4 out of 5 people don't know how much they're paying for broadband service in the UK. And I just wonder how much that translates to the rest of the world. And also, how
my guess is in the United States, I am the anomaly, knowing what I pay.
And also, I think it's so clarity confusing as well. I mean, and I'm guessing there must be a translation here for the US or not, is the fact that how much, you know, how easy is it to even work out what you should be paying or if there's a cheaper tariff?
It's a horrible mess. Yeah, it's really confusing. Bills are intentionally confusing. It's an ugly, ugly mess.
I'm relatively sure that I could get it for cheaper, but I was told a while ago, I don't know if this is still true or was true even at the time, but if you go with one of the other providers, you're still using BT's line, and therefore you're always going to get the better service with BT. And then there's also the other element, which is if you have a problem, you've always got Plusnet kind of going, you're going to have to speak to your line provider. And then BT's going, you're going to have to speak to Plusnet. So at least I kind of think that if I am paying more, it's probably we're only talking 10 or less.
Yeah.
And then that the whole hassle's gone and I'm probably going to get the most reliable service. And I have no complaints about BT whatsoever.
No.
And it is only $26.95.
Alan's massively pleased to hear about it.
I am. It's a nice shock to hear someone, you know, not complaining about BT.
So you've completely washed from your brain the bit about Wrighty saying he was pissed off of BT earlier.
No. But generally, as I say, I would advise people, you know, if something is working with BT, don't touch it. Once it's working, it's great, but just don't touch it and don't mess with and talk to customer services.
Yeah, customer services are not fantastic.
They're trying very hard, but the problem is there's so many levers in the back end that it doesn't always go well if you fiddle.
Oh, don't get me started.
Right, don't get Wrighty fiddling, for Christ's sake. Alan, do you want me to bleep all of that? Because I'm sure your communications department would be really pissed off to hear that you've made a statement like that without prior authorization. And
all comments I make are not indicative of the company that I work for.
I'll bleep it.
What was the disclaimer I had to put on my Twitter again? Yeah, something along the lines of something or other. Oh, yeah, yeah. All opinions my own. There we go.
I'll bleep that. It's around an hour. Mull apparently has found out how much I pay. I don't know how he's done that. £43, £25 per month. No phone or TV, just broadband. There we go. Top service. Nice. 200 megabits a second.
On Virgin Media.
Interesting conversation. This podcast and all of this is brought to you by UK2. Please support them if you possibly can, because they've supported us for a very long period of time. We've been them 7 years now, I think, or something like that, 6 or 7 years. They've got a huge amount of data on there, and they've got a huge amount of bandwidth that's consumed by people downloading the shows when I actually bother to post them. Do apologise, we'll get to it in the morning, I promise you. If you go to britishnetwork.com/UK2, that takes you straight in to be signed into your account. And if you go to britishnetwork.com/sponsors, then you'll get the offer codes that UK2 give the BTN listeners to get 20% off your domain names and 10% off other stuff and 50 quid off here and 20 quid off there. And there's loads and loads of offers available you can pick up on. They're a great service. You can use them worldwide. It doesn't make any difference about the fact they're called UK2. You can still buy them overseas. And 100tb.com is the other service that we've got that that really is worth having, because they're the people that pick up the live stream and that kind of stuff. And thanks to everyone who donates through the Patreon system as well. So if you go to britishjetnetwork.com/Patreon, then you can donate to the service. If you're in the Slack room, if you'd like to get in the Slack room, there's no restrictions on that. There's no entry fee or anything like that. You just send us an email to britishjetnetwork@gmail.com and say, please let me in the Slack, and I will let you in the Slack. If you are given the opportunity to be in the Slack, I would really appreciate it if you bothered to donate through Patreon, though, just to show some appreciation of the fact that, you know, it is a special treat to be in there with the rest of us, shooting the breeze and having some fun and getting the support that we've got. We've got 3X geniuses, Apple geniuses in there, so if you're an Apple user, you're going to get support, and we've got people in there that are really whizzos on Windows as well, so... You know, if you've got a problem, you will get an answer. I said this week, I've got this real problem with Finder when every time I do a quick view on a photo, I just get the spinning beach ball of death. Guy goes, clear your cache. And I went and cleared my cache and the problem disappeared. That was the Slack room that supported me in doing that. I put the new version of El Capitan and it stopped it completely anyway. So Apple obviously knew it was there. So please support us. Please support the network. Please support UK2. And please... if you get in the Slack room, give us a donation. It'd be nice just to give us a few quid. And it pays for the news show with Kyle every week, which is just awesome. Every single day you will get 5 minutes of the top tech stories of the day. Superb. Time for the cool thing. Do you want to start us off, Wheaters, or do you want me to go over someone else?
No, no, it's okay. I've got something this time.
Oh, good grief.
I should have actually mentioned this in the Mac show because it's a Mac app, but it's... So I used to be a big fan of 00 Hornby Railway, stuff like that when I was a kid. And my dad was really into it. And just for my Christmas there, my wife bought me a new train set. So I've set it up in the garage. So I've got this massive big board in the garage, and I've set up my train set in the garage because I've got two kids and they probably will quite enjoy it. I've got another one on the way in a month. So I'm quite enjoying building this train set back up again. And I was looking for a way, because it's an 8x7 foot board I've got up in the garage that I'm going to put this train set on. And I'm trying to find a way that I can actually plan my train set out. And I was sketching it and stuff, but you can never get the right angle to work out exactly where all the bends and stuff like that are going to go. And I had a bit of a brainwave this week thinking, somebody somewhere must have written some software for this. So I found on the Mac App Store a piece of software called Rail Modeler. And basically
it's really cool.
Yeah. Basically what it is you put in the dimensions of your board. And it has all of the track that you can buy from all the different providers. So basically it's got all the Hornby track and the Pico track and all that kind of stuff. And you just drag it on and it snaps into place and you can move them around in sections. And then basically it makes a shopping list at the end and you can go on and say, right, I have 40 corners or 10 straights and stuff. And then it comes back and goes, right, you still need to buy 3 left-hand points for to make this layout work. And it's really, really cool. The free version is basically completely doable. You can use it. The only downside is you can't actually specify the size of your board. So you can get round it. by basically just kind of drawing a box in the background and then putting that into a lower level or something like that. But it's only, I think it's like 24 quid or something like that for the main version. And I'm really enjoying it. I was getting some funny looks on the train this morning when I was sitting designing my layout on the train. But yeah, it's fun. And I think what is really, really nice about it is it actually uses the proper Hornby parts and stuff. So you can kind of snap them all together and get your layout kind of working.
And there is also Rail Modeler Pro when you've lost the will to live.
No, so Rail Modeler doesn't have the... that's what I'm saying, there's the Pro version you have to pay 25 quid for.
I was joking.
So there's my layout.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was joking. Where's the slot that you come up through the middle to...
That's it there.
So it even gives you your slot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Your fat controller slot.
Yeah, all my controllers and stuff.
Everybody that's 11 inch air, that is.
Can you just show your screen again there, because have you gone into night app thing, night time?
I bet you're using Flux.
Night I am shift. Using Flux, yeah.
Yeah, so it's all yellow. Mm-hmm. Horrible.
Yeah, and it's got different layers as well, so I can switch off one of the layers because it's actually a two level same layout.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
Brilliant. Jeff, have you got a cool thing for us, mate?
I do, and sorry, it's not sexual this week.
I already covered that with my pick.
Although you could use this for your sexual adventures, and I just dropped you a link. Here we go. This is what it is. It is JBL's Pulse 2 speaker.
Oh.
And so it's a Bluetooth speaker.
It looks nice. I saw this.
And there you go. Turn it on, and it'll do light shows for you, which is kind of fun. And it has several different light shows that it'll do. And then it also has, right here, this lens. So what you can do is hold this up to something, whatever color you like, and then you hit the button on this side, and it analyzes the color of whatever it is, and then that's what color you get here. So it has the cool, fun features, but it sounds awesome. I mean, like, I was blown away with audio quality on this thing. The original Pulse was really good audio, but this thing, man, the Pulse 2 just blows it out of the water. I was really impressed with the audio quality on this thing. So what I did for my test to see if I was really going to like it, I paired it with my iPad Pro and took it on a weekend trip and just played all my music for the weekend through this. And it was so good that when I decided to watch the episode of Sherlock that I had on my iPad, I let that play through here too, and it just sounded fracking amazing. So I'm really pleased with this. It's really good, but you get what you pay for. It's $200 US, but you can get it for cheaper on Amazon.
Now, has anyone got a relationship price for the UK? Is that?
Yeah, Muller's just put it in. $155.
Okay, so we've got it less than. That's not bad. So it's at least... No, normally you get the dollar to pound conversion is 1-to-1, isn't it? Despite the fact that there's a big difference between us. So, okay, 154 quid isn't... But you're saying it's well worth the money.
Oh, yeah. I was really impressed with the audio quality. It's fantastic. Now, if you have lots of money to burn, you can buy multiples of these and pair them up and do stereo sound.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's an app that you can load on your smartphone or whatever device that has Bluetooth that you're connecting this to, and then change the light patterns and light colors and pair up multiple speakers. So it's pretty versatile. It's more than just a standalone speaker with flashy lights. Excellent. It's really good audio
it's
quality.
It's a super cool pick. I'm not sure I'm going to buy it myself because I'm... Hang on. What's that? Muller's found a cheap version.
So I got the Anker one that came out not that long ago, the Anker Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
My wife got me that for Christmas, and I would say for sound quality, you're probably still better with the JBL, but for a kind of a cheaper version, and the battery, as you would expect, because it's Anker, lasts for ages. So I had it, again, going back to my train set. I was in my garage with my train set for an entire day over Christmas, and I had that going the whole time, and it lasted all day. It was really impressive.
Excellent, cool. Thanks, Jeff. But you don't get the cool light show, and you don't get the camera.
The JBL is much better, but I'm just saying, as a sort of a cheaper alternative, there's the Anker version, which is pretty cool.
Cool. Alan, what do you have for us?
I was actually going to do two quick shout-out or tips, and then a pick, and then a cool thing, if that's
okay. Well, let's put it, I found a cheaper one for $4.99. No, you really haven't.
So, first one was to sing out anyone who uses free storage in Microsoft OneDrive. You need to go to preview.onedrive.com/bonus before the 31st of January. Otherwise, they will take away, you know, your 30 gig of free storage and give you just 5 gig as of 1st of February. So if you want to keep your 30 gig free of OneDrive storage, it's well worth you going to that link, clicking one button and signing in with your Microsoft account, and you get to keep and grandfathered in to your 15 gig plus 15 gig camera roll bonus.
Good advice, Alden. Thank you very much.
On a similar tip, they just released the next 10 titles of backwards compatibility on the Xbox One. And to celebrate that, The Witcher 2 is at, on Xbox 360, is one of those new backwards compatible games. And currently, it's free in the US, Canada, France, Germany, and the UK until 4th of February. So if you go on xbox.com, you can grab it there and get yourself it and play it on 360 or Xbox One.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much.
My cool thing, might need the lights off, and it's cool to see a bat went. You're worrying now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
No, I'm suddenly intrigued.
It is a not quite life-size, I'm afraid. Halo Cortana light up figure. I shall put the link in the chat room.
So that's a nude woman, nude blue woman.
That is a nude blue see-through woman lighted by LED.
I'll be in my bunk.
Light.
Boom.
I'll do a full rotate.
Nice
for you.
Ass.
Thanks, Ewan.
No.
So have we just lost our...
But why? We never had any. Why? I don't understand the...
It was Batwench's Christmas present to me.
Okay.
Because I am a big Xbox and Halo fan.
So what does it do, though? That's the thing, is it?
Well, it lights up with blue LEDs.
Oh, okay. Glad to hear that.
Not articulated.
And you have no clue how much it costs, because it was a present, of course.
Well, I did find it on Amazon, so, as I say, about 14 quid on Amazon at the moment. Don't know how much Batwench obviously paid, but it was part of her Christmas present bundle to me. The only one that's a little thing is they want you to... It's a McFarlane toy set, collector toy set.
Right.
So they want you to get the whole Halo set. So there is one bonus piece, they call it, which is a piece of sword, and you have to buy the other three in the set to be able to assemble the Halo sort of hard difficulty emblem.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay.
You know. But yeah. No, I was it's cool. And that will sit by my computer on my mantelpiece. Thank you very much, Batwench.
And the statue of the nude woman is in the DP series. Oh dear.
Oops.
Righty boy, have you got a cool thing for us moving on swiftly?
Yeah, I have, mate.
I was about to
We've installed a couple of the new Apple TVs in the house, and even though we're all kind of Mac and iPads in the house, my media center under my TV is still a Windows PC. And on the Apple TVs, we're loving Plex. And it's great for identifying films and putting all the artwork and all that sort of thing. But it's really crap at doing TV shows. So I was sitting there going, well, to get Plex to recognize, I've got to go through it manually, edit all the titles and that sort of thing. And I looked on the internet a couple of nights ago, and I thought, there must be an app that does it for you. And I found one. It's a free open source app called TV Rename, which I'll put in the chat room. It's Windows only, unfortunately, in honor of Alan being here. But what you can do is you can point it at your media folder. It'll find your TV shows. It will tell you what you've got, and it'll automatically sort out all the names and everything. And with the press of one button, it'll automatically re-tag and rename all your files. So when Plex updates its library again, everything's right. But the other great thing about it is it tells you, so say you've got a series of Doctor Who or the Big Bang Theory or something like that, it'll tell you what shows you're missing and where you can go and get them. And it's really good, and it's free.
Excellent, mate. Thank you.
I would, if people want similarly to sort of track TV series and stuff, yeah, I use Plex as well. I haven't had problems with it. I guess I'd name things okay anyway with nested folders, but and it's pretty good when if you get your folder structure right, i.e. the TV series and then a subfolder with the name of the TV series and what series number it is, it's really good. But,
no, I've got some bizarre stuff, don't you worry.
But TV Rename sounds great as automated. In terms of other tracking your TV series, I really like track.tv. Website is great. You can sign up for a free account, and then you can it'll track sort of which shows you're interested in. You can also scrobble from Plex, so you can automatically update your watch settings, and then you can go in there, and it'll tell you what episodes you haven't got in your collection yet and stuff. Doesn't go and tell you where to find them. But it's a really nice, rich interface for looking around, and you can sort of do searches across movies and TV shows and put them in a watch list so you can go sort of work out and, oh, all right, I want to see that later.
Cool.
Excellent.
Like it.
My cool thing is available Monday. You bothered, because you should be. It's The Martian. It's available Monday on iTunes if you want to get it. Another downloadable media is available, but it's £9.99 in the UK store if you want to get it, and it's a well worth going to see film. I went and saw it after the work experience guy who burned my carpet in my front room was sitting in the car. I haven't let that go yet. Was sitting in the car with me when I drove him back to his granddad's house, and I said, "Is The Martian any good?" He said, "Who wouldn't want to watch Matt Damon growing potatoes in his own shit?"
Yeah, yeah, I can't eat potatoes anymore.
The film is fabulous, but you know, if the film whets your appetite, get the audiobook.
Oh, the book is awesome. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That is, you know, I think probably the best. Well, it's the best audiobook I've ever listened to.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I was switching back and forth between the ebook and Audible, but actually, it is like a full radio play. It's so well narrated.
Yeah,
and it's got so much more in it than the film did.
Especially with the shit. Good job,
but
there's so much more around the growing potatoes in your shit. In the book. So if you like that bit, it really goes into quite a level of detail and over a long period of time as well.
A lot more problems happen to him and a lot more chaos and, you know, struggle actually happens that they cut out.
And you realize Mars is a much bigger planet than it appears to be in the movie.
Yeah.
So you would, this highlights something that really annoys me.
Oh, what have you done?
About licensing and movie releases. So you guys are getting The Martian, which you said next week. I bought it off the iTunes store like right after Christmas so that I'd have it before I flew out to Vegas for CES.
And you had it?
Yeah. It's on my iPad right now.
Why does that upset you then? Because that should upset me.
It should upset you, but it upsets me because I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we have this stupid totally arbitrary system where people can't get content everywhere, and it's limited when it comes out and where you can get it, and studios wonder why people pirate content all the time, because they can't get the stuff they want to throw money at.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the only thing, I mean, if you talk about movie launches, I have a sympathy, because it's like Matt Damon can't be at the London premiere, the New York premiere, the Delhi premiere, the Peking.
Yeah, that's true.
I can live with that.
But when it comes to digital movie releases and the DVD and Blu-ray releases, that should just all roll out everywhere all at once.
My other shout-out was, if you haven't seen it, go and see Everest. That is a roller coaster movie. I sat there breathless watching this movie, and it's a true story as well, and it's a really sad true story about the conquest of Everest by some very ordinary people, and it's one of the worst disasters that Everest has ever had to suffer since it started in 1954, really, with Edmund Hillary going up. And it was a very, very touching and very, very well done film. So go and see it if you possibly can on iTunes. And I think that was $13.99 I bought that for, but worth every single penny. Well worth it.
Cool.
We love our movies. Me and Sharon, we love our movies. Where can we get a hold of you, Jeffrey?
You can find me over at macobserver.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet both places. And you can find me on a buttload of podcasts. Just go to the iTunes store and put in my name. You'll find stuff.
You're in there. Alan, where are you, sir?
Yeah, probably the best place to start off is Digital Amoeba on Twitter.
Excellent, mate. Righty boy.
Paul is on Twitter, mate. And enjoying the Slack room. Loving it.
If you want to get in the Slack room, send us an email and we'll let you in. And last but by no means least, the man who's trekked all the way down here from Edinburgh to be here, Paul Wheatley.
So you can find me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, but I'd never check it.
You look twice.
I'm done.
He's done. My name's Ewan Rankin. I'm done too. I'm going home to sleep because I've had enough Guinness, and then I'm going to get up early to get a train to London. So, but it's a fun day tomorrow. Thanks for listening. See you next week.